Before we start today's episode, I wish to acknowledge that this podcast has been recorded on the traditional lands of the Kaurna people. I pay my deepest respect to elders past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander cultures. I acknowledge the Kaurna people as the custodians of the Adelaide region, and consider myself incredibly lucky to live, work, and raise a family on Kaurna land. Hi everyone, and welcome to the Truth About Aging podcast. I'm your host, Kate Helmore. Each week, we'll be unpacking your questions about the aged care sector, discussing how to age well, grow old, and make informed decisions. Let's get started. Hello, and welcome to episode 79 of the Truth About Aging podcast. My name is Kate. I am the host and founder of this show. I'm a social gerontologist by trade, which is a fancy way of saying that I work with people, with individuals and their families to help them work through aging in whatever that means. So for a lot of people, that's helping them access supports to remain at home. Sometimes it is looking for things like respite or permanent care. It could be looking at different accommodation, at transition out of hospital, rehabilitation programs, lots of different things along that journey of aging, but essentially looking at finding what's important to people and helping them achieve those goals as much as they can. Now, I was going to say last fortnight's episode. I should say from the very start, this episode is a week later than it was intended to be, and I'm firstly aware that that probably doesn't matter too much to anybody listening to the show. Normally I drop fortnightly episodes, but this one is a week late. And I did just want to touch really briefly on why, because I think, as I've said before in this podcast, the podcasts I listen to, I really appreciate understanding a bit more about the people that host them and what's going on for them and their story. And I think it's important to be vulnerable with you all as well. But so we had quite a shock in our family a couple of weeks ago now, about 3 weeks ago, where we found out that a really close family friend of ours had died by suicide. And it was really shocking in many ways and absolutely heartbreaking. And I think it's just taken a little while for things to even start to feel like normal again or start to get back into routine, because something like that can really shake your world upside down in many ways. This beautiful friend was probably more like a brother to me for a good 20 years. I haven't seen him that much in the last couple of years, but it was really hard news and hard to imagine that he had been in so much pain before that. So I did just want to use this opportunity to highlight the importance of checking in on those around you. Not that that always means that people will open up or want to share what's going on for them, but I think it's really important that we genuinely check in more than just, are you okay? But, you know, what's going on for you? What are you looking forward to? What are some of the challenges at the moment? How are you feeling supported? There's many, many questions that we can ask, and you never know if it's going to be enough, but I think it's just really important to keep in touch with those around you. I also think it's really important to use services like Lifeline and Beyond Blue, and if you are in a place that you're struggling. And yeah, I just wanted to share that in the context of, I guess, partly why things have been a little bit slow around here at the moment, but also just as an opportunity to remind everyone to check in on each other, on your loved ones, cuddle your kids a little bit closer, or yeah, look after those around you, because you just never know what the next day brings. So try gear shift out of that. Essentially, yes, this was meant to be my second April episode, which was not happening in time because it's actually not a priority and it wasn't a priority for me at the time. So we are a little bit late on this one. And I am also looking to have a little bit of a hiatus from the podcast for a while, not related to that, but I find every now and then I probably just need a little bit of a breather, a bit of a break, time to get some new ideas, some new content, and feel re-energized for it again. I've been doing this podcast for about 2.5 years, coming up on 3 years now, and I love it. I've said it so many times. I love recording the episodes, but there are times across those 3 years that I start to feel a bit like, it starts to feel like a little bit of a chore again. And I know when it feels like that, it's time for me to take a break and it's time for me to pause and reset and re-energize before going again. So I will be taking a little bit of a breather for I don't know how long, but it will come back at some point. So thank you if you have been tuning in. I'm always incredibly grateful for those who listen to the podcast and those that get in touch from it as well. I'm always contactable via my website or via the Instagram account, so please feel free to get in touch if you have any questions over the next little while. As for today's episode, it is going to be part two of the last one, which was all about home care. Last episode was Home Care 101, everything about the Commonwealth Home Support Program, home care packages, support at home, which will be coming in the future. And so I wanted to kind of follow on from that and talk about how we are accessing those services. So if you did listen, well, if you didn't listen to the last one, maybe jump back and start there because it is a really helpful one to give the context about all those different services, what you're asking for, and I guess what those different programs are. But today I'm going to really focus on the contacting my aged care and what those assessments might look like. It's something that I work with clients a lot on, and I've had a couple very recently for my own grandparents and also for clients, both contacting my aged care and sitting through those assessments. So I wanted to take some time today to go through what that looks like so you know what to expect. So as discussed in the last episode, all of these services are looked after by My Aged Care. They're the umbrella, I guess, organisation that looks after all government subsidised aged care services. You can find them at myagedcare.gov.au. They have lots of information on there. I find when I'm going through any form of kind of assessment, the best way to do it is over phone. So their contact number is 1800 200 422. I did mention in the last episode, but I will say again, they are open Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. So they do quite an after hours, and also on Saturdays from 10 till 2. So hopefully amongst that kind of schedule and opening hours, you can find time to contact them. I know trying to get in touch with a post office between 9 and 5 can be impossible sometimes, but thankfully my aged care have longer opening hours. So essentially when you're contacting My Aged Care or before you're contacting My Aged Care, it's a good idea to have a list of what you're going to be asking for. What is it that you need some help with? Why are you contacting them? So that you're very clear when they start to ask those questions over the phone. I think it's really important to highlight at this point, I think on the whole, My Aged Care and even aged care assessors can get a really bad rap. I've heard many people assume that people aren't there to try help them. You know, they don't want to give you services, so make sure you demand them, or assessors will try to trick you and get there early before your family are there, or if you get someone bad on the phone, make sure you hang up on them and then try again. And whilst I appreciate there is some unfortunate circumstances, and sometimes you might have someone that's not particularly helpful, the vast majority of the time, in my experiences, both assessors and people that you speak to at My Aged Care or in any of the assessment teams are really there to try and help. Most people that work in aged care are there because they care and they do want to try and get the best outcomes for you. Ultimately, yes, they do have guidelines that they need to stick to, and that's to ensure that not any Joe Blogs can call up and get services, because if we all did that, if every single one of us could call up and get a cleaner, there wouldn't be any funding for any of those services. So they have to have some guidelines and parameters in place to ensure that the people that are accessing the services are actually eligible. So I think it is really important to be kind, be empathetic, and work with them when you're talking on the phone. I think if you're positive towards them, 9 times, if not, I was going to say 9 times out of 10, I'm going to say 98 times out of 100, you're going to have a good experience because the people there are really trying to help. So I just want to dispel that myth first of all. My aged care ACAT assessors, they're not out to get you. Most of the time, the vast majority of the time, they're trying to work alongside you and get you the support that you need. So don't, I guess, also come into it a bit combative because you're not going to get a great outcome if you're trying to fight them off the bat. So when you contact My Aged Care, we're going to have a clear idea about what we're asking for. This might be as simple as saying, "Hi, I'm calling up today to request an assessment for a home care package." That's most of the time what we're calling up for. Occasionally, you might just be looking for Commonwealth Home Support Program services, but most of the time, if you are eligible, it's worth going for that home care package assessment. They will then want to know over the phone roughly why you're needing that assistance. If you haven't had any previous assessment, they're going to want a bit of health history background, understanding of your current needs, and what might make you eligible for a home care package. If you have been assessed previously, they're only going to be focusing on what's changed since your last assessment. Because if you've had an assessment before, they already have all of your details. They have your health history. At that point in time, you were eligible for something, or you might not have been eligible for something, but they assessed you at that time for whatever they did. They want to know what's different since then. So let's say you were assessed 6 months ago, but now it might be that your mobility's declined. You've had a fall since then. You're no longer driving. Your arthritis has flared up and you're now struggling to be able to prepare your meals or hang washing on the line. You might have any new kind of health condition, diagnosis, hospitalizations, falls, definitely worth noting, and any of those changes you've noticed around the home, things that are getting harder since you were last assessed. Now, most of the time, they will then either, if it's your first time being assessed, if they determine that you're eligible for a home care package, they will send you through to your local ACAT team. Now, ACAT is the Aged Care Assessment Team, except in Victoria, it's called ACAS. So most of the time it's ACAT, but if you hear ACAS, that's why. So that is then with a group of assessors that then will contact you for further assessment. So it will go to ACAT if you're eligible for a home care package. If you were previously assessed by a regional assessment service, RAS, which is for the Commonwealth Home Support Program, I hope you're hanging in with me. If you were previously assessed by RAS, they'll go back to that team who will review your changes, have a look at what's different, and they'll then determine whether it gets passed on to the ACAT team or not. Essentially, they're just wanting to make sure that the only people that get sent through to ACAT are those who are going to be eligible for a home care package. The ACAT assessors are incredibly, incredibly booked up. There's quite long waits. I can't speak across the nation, but I know specifically in South Australia, there's decent waits for any ACAT assessments. When I say decent, I should define that. Some areas at a good pace, you might be about 4 to 6 weeks. In some areas, it's maybe 6 months before you can get an assessment. So pretty decent wait times in those. But so that's why they really want to make sure that they're only sending people to ACAT that will eventually be eligible for a home care package. If they review your details and think, actually, you're not at that comprehensive care need yet, you can do the entry level assistance, then they'll go ahead with a RAS assessment for those Commonwealth Home Support Program supports or codes. I hope I haven't lost you there. If this is sounding confusing, it might be worth going back to the previous episode if you haven't already listened, because I do really outline the different types of programs and the different assessment teams. But so at that point, you've called up My Aged Care, you've explained you want an assessment, they've asked you a series of questions. They're either going to send you through to a RAS assessor, who's then going to look at your needs again, or they might send you straight through to ACAT. Either way, someone, an assessor from one of those teams, is then going to make contact with you or your primary contact, and I'll come back to that in a second, and then they're going to conduct a further phone screening. Now, when I say or other primary contact, I often recommend, I've set it up for both of my grandparents, and I often recommend to clients, sometimes having your primary contact as child or a grandchild or someone other than yourself can be helpful, because sometimes it's easier for them to give more objective feedback on what your current challenges might be. I know, using my own grandpa's situation, for example, when they called him up last, he did the very typical, I'm not doing too bad. Oh, no, I'm probably okay. Yeah, I guess I'll be all right. And they didn't come back for an assessment, understandably. Now we've put me down as the primary contact, so I can actually detail some of those things that have changed since his last assessment and be quite specific in what those things are. You really want to make sure that the person being contacted has a good understanding of what the changes are and is able to communicate that to the assessors and demonstrate why another assessment is necessary. So be selective in who that primary contact person is. Once they've done the phone screening, if they determine that you're still eligible, most of the time the people for a home care package will then come out and see you in the home. They'll want to visualize you in your environment, see how you're mobilizing around, get an understanding of what that looks like for you and what supports are needed. There have been instances, certainly during COVID, and I've heard of it happening occasionally, where they will screen for home care packages or they will assess home care packages over the phone. However, it is, I guess, best practice for those to be done within the home. If it's over the phone, you just don't get the same kind of picture of someone's needs. So even potentially asking for someone to come out to the home is a good way to go about it. When they come out for that assessment, whether this is potentially a RAS assessor in your home or an ACAT assessor, they're going to ask a series of questions. Now, I know often my clients will feel a bit nervous heading into this or like they need to prepare for an exam or something. I think it's worth just taking a deep breath and remembering that all you're talking about is your truth and what's going on for you. I never encourage my clients to lie about anything that's going on or exaggerate their conditions. I think it's really important you're truthful about the information you're giving. What I do say for people, though, is to picture what your worst day looks like and answer the questions based on that. So if some people have conditions that might be better some days and worse others, we want to paint a picture to the assessors of what those bad days look like, because that's when you're really going to need the support. And that's where we're looking at making sure you have those supports around you so that whether you're having a good day or bad, you have people there that you can draw on, or funding that you can draw on and services you can draw on when it's needed. So if they say, how do you go showering? If you'd had a great morning that morning and you got out of bed okay, your joints were feeling all right, you had a pretty crazy shower and got dressed on your own, but 2 or 3 times a week, you actually really struggle to get out of bed because your arthritis is flaring up and you choose not to shower because it's just easier to sit down in the chair and you can't get the energy up to be able to do something like that, I'd make sure that you're detailing both of those things to say, well, it happens on whatever frequency, 2-3 times a week, I'm not able to do it because of XYZ. This morning was okay, but some days are really bad. You really want to make sure you're getting across what those bad days look like. Because as much as these assessors will ask a number of different questions, again, remember, they're trying to work on your side, they're trying to understand what's going on for you. There's only so many questions they can ask or so long they can assess you for to get the information about what happens on your good or your bad days. So as much as you can, try keep that in mind and paint a picture of what that looks like on your bad days as well. The assessments will vary in time. I've seen them anywhere from about 45 minutes if they're really short, sharp and shiny to about 2 hours. I'd say on average they're about hour, hour and a half. And they will ask a lot of questions, anything from, yes, how you go about showering, your mobility, your continence, how you go managing your medications, your shopping, your cleaning, your cooking. There's lots of different things that they will ask about, and that in itself can feel like you need to be a little bit vulnerable in sharing what might be a struggle. Often people will feel a bit uncomfortable maybe sharing if they have continence issues or if sometimes they maybe leak through their pants or if they used to feel more confident driving, but maybe it's a bit more of a challenge now. It's really important to be as honest and vulnerable as you can in your responses, again, so they get a clear picture about what's going on for you. And if you think that you're someone that's going to struggle to do that on your own, I strongly recommend people having a friend or a family member present who can also help advocate for those needs. And when I say advocate, I'm just going to reiterate this again. I've been in assessments for people where the family members feel they need to yell over the top what's going on or say, you don't understand how bad they are, they need this. It's not your role to tell the assessor what they're eligible for. That's what the assessor's doing. the way to get the best experience for all of you, but also probably to get the best outcome, is just to really assist gently, but also making a clear point of what those things are that they might be struggling with. For example, in an assessment I was part of the other day, this gentleman had given a response that really didn't create a clear picture about all of the struggles he faces. So I was able to prompt, hey, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I know you mentioned the other day that sometimes when you are getting up in the morning, you'll choose not to shower because you are experiencing so much pain. And then he was able to go, oh yeah, actually, yeah, some days are okay, but other days I really can't at all. So you're gently prompting those things or mentioning little reminders along the way to make sure they get the full picture without screaming at the assessors or talking over the top of people or really disregarding what the person they're assessing is saying. You just want to prompt and guide and give a little bit of additional information where it's helpful. At this assessment, they'll normally give an idea about what you might be eligible for. They might not determine exactly what level of home care package, but they'll generally say whether you are eligible for a package or if you're going to be on the Commonwealth Home Support Program. They'll detail what those wait times look like. I should say they should detail, and most of the time they do. They'll talk you through what those wait times are, what some of the things are that you can access in the interim, and what the next steps are going forward. If you have any questions from that, that's the time to ask. If you're unclear about what's going on, ask your assessor then and there. They are very busy and often booked up with appointments with people, so it can be hard to contact your exact assessor at a later date. So I always recommend people take a little moment there to think about any questions they might have. From that point, they then go and submit their assessment. It's normally reviewed to make sure that it is in line with the guidelines. And then you join the wait list. As I've discussed before, this can be anything from about 3 to 12 months, depending on the level of your package. And you pretty much sit and wait in the meantime, or you might have some access to Commonwealth Home Support Program assistance in the interim. So that gives you a little bit of an idea about what you're asking for when you first call up, the teams that you might be referred to, and what that assessment might look like. They can vary, it will vary, depending on the assessor or depending on who you speak with. As I said, most of the time, they're there for the right reasons. They're trying to help you and they're trying to help you access services that are going to help you remain at home. If for some reason you contact My Aged Care and you find someone on the phone really isn't listening or they're not understanding what you're trying to convey, you can say to them, look, I'm really sorry, I'm just going to call back a little bit later. And you can call back and speak to somebody else and try again another time if that's easier. You can't quite do that with your assessors, because once your assessor's booked, that's who you've got in the home at the time. But I can't reinforce enough how important it is to be polite, to really just try to communicate those needs in an empathetic way. They're just trying to do their job. You can help advocate and do that information sharing for your loved one, but doing so in a respectful and polite and kind manner will go a really long way. As always, if you have any questions about the assessment process or contacting My Aged Care, please feel free to get in touch with me. You can do so via my website at www.navigateagedcare.com.au or via Instagram at The Truth About Aging or on Facebook at NavigateAgeCareAU. As I said, I will be on a little bit of a hiatus, a bit of a break from the podcast for the foreseeable future. I don't know what that looks like. It could be 3 months. It could be 6. I'm not sure. I doubt it'll be that long because it doesn't normally take me too long to re-energize and get back to it, but it will be on hold for a little while. If you'd like to keep up to date with Navigate updates, I will still be putting out my monthly newsletter, which is a great way to get a little snapshot of some updates coming out and I guess be across what's happening in the aged care space. To sign up for the newsletter, you can head to www.navigateagedcare.com.au/newsletter. There's a little form on there that you can complete and that will then link you into the newsletter so that you get our monthly, you get my monthly updates. It's just me. But you'll get my monthly updates and be across what's going on. In the meantime, as I started this episode, please look out for yourselves, look out for each other. I hope you're all doing really well and I'll be back in your ears at some stage in the future. Bye.